Kiss Mornings
with Drew and Carly.
Some major controversy for a Winnipeg restaurant after a case of mistaken identity. Carly, Squirrel's social media was really popping off over the weekend, but not for the reasons you want it to pop off for.
Yeah, I mean, it's still popping off, and I'm just kind of confused if it's related to this thing or something else. But, yeah, I was getting some messages yesterday.
Angry messages. Hostile messages.
I mean, they really truly weren't that angry. It was, like, literally people apologizing to me. But, yeah, I got this message from this guy who lives in L.A. saying that he accidentally tagged my restaurant for squirrels in a post because he was angry because there is this really trendy cafe in LA called Squirrel, S-Q-I-R-L. Mine is S-Q-R-L, certainly not in LA. And their big thing is their jam, but they've been selling jam because they've been closed, but they can still sell their jam. Mm-hmm. And the jam had mold in it. And so he warned me that like a bunch of people were probably going to be messaging and like, Squirrel, my squirrel, was already being mistaken for this trendy little cafe in LA for like a month now, but for good reasons, now bad. So I thought it was quite funny that this guy messaged me apologizing, and then I said, it's all good. We're actually a restaurant for squirrels in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. Maybe you've heard of it. And he said, oh my goodness, I didn't even realize. This is incredible. Shared it in his story. He has quite a following, apparently. He also said that if we did make shirts, he would really like one. So, you know, Squirrel is actually finding new followers because of this scandal.
No kidding. So this case of mistaken identity where someone thought that you were this moldy jam restaurant actually is now working in your favor. You've been able to spin this to grow your audience?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good for you. Not every case of mistaken identity works out that way, but I guess the ones that specifically involve Squirrel restaurants, everything turns out A-OK.
Yes.
Time out, cases of mistaken identity, because yours ended up being pretty funny, Carly, when you were mistaken. Your squirrel restaurant was mistaken for a different restaurant who's in some hot water right now.
Yeah, there's my squirrel restaurant. It's called Squirrel, S-Q-R-L. And in L.A., there's a trendy little cafe called Squirrel, S-Q-I-R-L. Yeah, there's something going on with them. They have some moldy jam. People are mad about it.
And that's the big controversy on your social medias right now is the moldy jam.
Yeah. So, you know, I got a couple messages yesterday and a couple more this morning about, you know, people being upset. And then they go and look at the page and then realize, well, maybe they don't even fully realize what we are because it doesn't actually say in our bio that we are a restaurant for squirrels. And then, you know, they think it's quite funny. They follow, they share. And, yeah, we've gotten over 200 followers. In the last 24 hours.
What were some of those new messages that were coming in?
Yeah, one guy wanted actual, like, merch. He thought this was so great. What message are you referring to? Oh, just now, like, people saying, don't support Squirrel LA, do support Squirrel Restaurant, the restaurant for squirrels. So, yeah, I guess I support that message.
Your mistaken identity cases are much better than, mine. I don't know if you've ever been in one of these situations or I don't know, maybe you're on vacation or walking through and then someone comes up, starts talking to you and then realizes far too late you're not who they thought they were. So 123-321, that's the number to call. But for like a good 6 months, I was getting hounded by these people who really, really were after D. Kozub. And they got my phone number because it used to be listed under L&D Kozub in the phone book years and years and years ago, because that was when I lived with my sister. And they wouldn't explain why, but they were just very aggressive and hostile. And I was like, so what D. Kozub are you looking for? And then they were being kind of evasive because they're like, we know you're him. Stop stalling. We need to meet up and talk. And I was like, I am not meeting up with you guys. So anyways, this went on for months and months and months. And then I eventually figured out that it was like bill collectors or debt collector people. And let me tell you, those guys are very serious. They are not, they do not have the same, oops, friendly misunderstanding like what happens with your squirrel jam restaurant. Like, they were determined that they were going to come and get me and get what I owed them. And I'm like, I'm not that D. Kozub. I'm a different D. Kozub. I'm the funny one. I'm the good one. The one who likes Hardy Boy books.
That's funny, though.
Yeah. I guess I probably should have been texting my other D. Kozubs that I know of to be like, hey, listen, guys, I don't know what you're into, but you better be on the lookout because someone wants you real bad.
Celebrity stories and more.
What is the hot gossip?
This is The Dish.
Well, unfortunately, we're starting off with a little bit of sad news this morning. Kelly Preston has sadly passed away at the age of just 57 after a 2-year battle with breast cancer. And I knew nothing about this, and the family actually chose to keep this very private for 2 years. So if you're not familiar, she's an actress, and she's also the wife of John Travolta, who actually released a statement already. So very, very sad news, and shocking to see that this morning. David and Victoria Beckham's oldest son, Brooklyn, is getting married. He proposed to his girlfriend, Nicola Peltz, recently. I guess this was a couple weeks ago, but just announced it yesterday. So he's 21, she's 25. She is an actress. Actually, her last boyfriend, very famous, Justin Bieber.
Her last boyfriend was Justin Bieber?
She dated him for like a very, very short amount of time. But yes, that's how I know of this girl. So these two have been together for 2 years. They met at Coachella. So yeah, he posted that over the weekend. So, I mean, quite young, but good for them. The Fast and the Furious franchise has been to Los Angeles. They've been to Tokyo. But the next film could be out of this world, literally.
This time it ain't just about being fast.
So Ludacris was doing a recent interview, and I guess he had hinted at, or the person interviewing him hinted at, the next movie, which would be F9.
Fast and Furious 9, yep.
Being in space.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard about this rumor?
I heard briefly about it, and it totally tracks because there's nowhere else for them left to go.
There's nowhere else for them left to go. Have they been to Canada?
Well, I mean, they've been to Iceland, so that's pretty much Canada. They've already got the snowy terrain down.
And so, yeah, I guess she had hinted at something, and then he kind of, like, covered his face where it's like, okay, did I say too much? So, yeah, F9 has been pushed back to April 2nd, 2021. When was this originally coming out?
It was going to be out in May of this past year.
Oh my goodness.
Listen, Carly, they've already used their cars to take down an airplane from their cars. They've used their cars to take down a submarine. So now the only thing left to do would be to use their cars to take down a spaceship.
Okay.
I will be there for this.
This is the one with Cardi B?
Yes, but we don't talk about that
Just
part.
Just had to put that in there.
Even though this year's event was canceled, a lot of people kept Folk Fest in their hearts this past weekend here in the city, and it was so fun seeing on social media the great lengths and efforts that people went to preserve the festival and honor its legacy. I'm
all right with a slow burn. Yeah, so I thought Winnipeg Folk Fest did a great job. They had Folk Fest at home this year where they played like clips of, you know, some of the highlight moments that they've had. They've had huge artists play. Like right now you're hearing Kacey Musgraves. She headlined on the Sunday. She closed out Folk Fest last year. It was so great. I was there with my boyfriend, so very happy about that. But yeah, I thought they did a really great job, and they were encouraging people to use the hashtag WFF at home. And people actually really did use that hashtag. And if you still look on the Winnipeg Folk Festival Instagram, their Instagram story, they just shared everyone that was celebrating at home or however you were celebrating, because we know Cargo Bar and the Beer Can were streaming the event.
Uh-huh.
But also people kind of like setting up their own decks and backyards, because a big thing about Folk Fest, if you do go and camp, is you decorate your campsite. You make it your own. I've had friends who have done like Ghostbusters theme and Jurassic Park. So people were doing that as well. And I just thought, wow, people got really creative. And it seemed like most people were actually watching the event outside.
Yeah, well, I think that's part of the ambiance, right? Mm-hmm. So that was a very clever way to celebrate the festival.
And a friend of the show, Jane Puchniak, actually got together with a couple of friends, and they camped at Bird's Hill. They were at, or I don't know if they camped, but they were definitely at Pope's Hill, just kind of honoring Folk Fest. So I thought that was really, really cool as well.
Thanks. And I skipped showers all weekend to do my part.
You shower at Folk Fest. You do.
It's a very special week on Kiss 102.3 this week.
It's The Office Week with Stanley Hudson.
Leslie David Baker, the actor who played Stanley Hudson on The Office, is planning a new show around his character.
Yeah, the new show is called Uncle Stan, and there's a Kickstarter right now to actually fund the project.
Recently, the actor phoned us up here on Kiss Mornings with Drew and Carly, and we talked to him about his time on The Office.
And today he tells us the moment he realized just how popular The Office really was.
The Office is just as popular today, if not more popular, than it was in 2005. Leslie, was there a moment that it really hit you, just how popular the show had become?
I think when we became the number one rated show on Netflix, and when 8 and 9 year olds were coming up and saying that they were fans of the show, which was really interesting, that the show had such a wide range of people interested in it, 8, 9 year olds and 90 year olds, and they all could sit down and watch the show together. And I think that's attributed to the fact that the characters on the show, the personalities that you saw on the show, they never change, in the sense that whether you are at school, university, at church, in a nursing home, in the grocery store, you run into characters who are like that. And you run into them throughout your lifespan, whether you're young, teenager, middle-aged, old, you run into these same characters. And, you know, of course, you know, now that we're in the middle of this pandemic, it hasn't hurt us in the least that people are at home and they're looking for something to be able to sit down and watch with their families at the, you know, after being cooped up indoors all day. You need to laugh. You need something to make you feel good, and that's what The Office does and has done.
Do you have a favorite episode?
Oh, my gosh. A favorite episode? I have a couple. I like the one when they shot me with the blow dart rolled me in the, rolled me in the bubble wrap. And then they slid me down the stairs and across the parking lot to make me go to a meeting. That was a fun one. When I had the heart attack and Michael was trying to stuff the wallet in my mouth and revive me, because that wasn't in the script.
That was an improvisation? So how did you not start laughing when you were getting a wallet shoved into your mouth and you didn't know that was coming?
Because when you've worked with Steve Carell for so many years, when he pulled that wallet out, I knew what he was going to do. I just saw it. You know, I just said, oh, here it comes. That was a fun episode. So I enjoyed that one. Putting on the sumo suit, that was fun. And the suit itself was not comfortable to be in. It's like being in a blood pressure cuff, because when it inflates out, it also squeezes you in. So, but that was fun. And the Halloween episodes were always fun, as well as the Christmas game, sitting around in a circle playing Yankee Swap.
Do you watch the show? Do you still watch episodes? Did you ever?
I did. We used to get together when we would film. We would go and either over to Greg Daniels' house, and we would sit around and we would watch the finished episode. Because funny thing about it, when you're doing a show, sometimes if you're not in the scene, you read it in the script, and you might read it at the table read, and until you see it on film, after it's been done, after it's been edited, then, you know, that's when it comes to life. And then you have the opportunity to sit down, not as an actor and watch the show, but as an audience person. So we get to see the same thing that you see in your homes. And that makes it completely different than when you are actually doing it as a performer.
Which Office character do you relate to most in real life?
Which Office character do I mostly relate to? Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, it probably would be a hodgepodge of several of them. They each had their own different attributes that I would probably use at some time in my life, except for, you know, liking cats like Angela does, because I'm allergic. Everyone there, you know, there were just a variety of different characteristics that one can borrow from in everyday life.
Are you still in touch with any of your co-stars from The Office?
Yes, I am. We see each other all the time at the different Comic-Cons and on the phone and texting and all that. So, this has been one of those things that's gone on for, you know, I don't think I've ever been on a job where I've, you know, had contact with people that I worked with for that many years after being away from the job that many years. So this is like our, 16th year knowing each other.
Oh,
wow.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Did you actually originally read for Stanley?
I did. Stanley's the only part I read for. And I went to Allison Jones, and I had on my little nice crisply ironed shirt and tie and all that, because they said it was an office environment. So I went in there, and she said, when you go to the callback, don't come in looking as crisp and clean and, you know, you want to look a little rumpled because you've been working in this office for a while. And I went, oh, okay. So I had another audition before I went to the callback. There were a bunch of people there, and I said, oh, I have time to go to my other audition. So I left, went to the other audition. On the way back, ran into all kinds of traffic, and every senior citizen that they made was out driving, and traffic was slow, and it was a kind of a hot, sticky day. So by the time I got back, and they were saying, oh, thanks so much for being patient and waiting. They said you were in the restroom, and I just said, oh, you're welcome. And Greg Daniels said, you know, go through, read the script as, you know, written, and after that, keep going. You know, he wanted to see the improv ability. And so I actually read with Phyllis Smith, who was the casting associate. So we sat down and we did the scene that was supposed to be between the two of us, and then just kept going with some improv. And the people who were doing the casting and the producers, they started laughing. So I said, must be doing something okay. And a few weeks later, I got a call that I had booked it.
Celebrity stories and more.
What is the 411?
This is The Dish.
Starting The Dish off with some sad news again today, unfortunately. Former Glee star Naya Rivera has been pronounced dead after her body was found in Lake... How did we say? Not, I keep on saying Lake Piru, but P-I-R-U. I mean, that's not important.
Oh, yeah,
important
we said Piru.
Piru. And she died from a drowning accident. So they'd been looking for her body since last Wednesday. And yesterday we got the terrible news. So, of course, tributes started to pour in on Twitter last night. And, I mean, she's known for her role on Glee. That was so big for her. But, mm-hmm. I mean, she knew so many other people. So now I kind of want to look into what else she did because she started acting at the age of 3.
Oh, wow.
She was 33 years old. So, yeah, everyone from, you know, her castmates, Darren Criss, Jane Lynch, and then Ricky Martin was posting things about her. Kristen Chenoweth, Josh Gad, Mandy Moore. I mean, these are all very, very talented people as well. So, I'm thinking that she really was so much more than her role on mm-hmm. Glee. So really incredibly sad news. Big Brother Canada will be back for a 9th season. So I saw this news yesterday and I was quite excited because the last season of Big Brother was cut short because of coronavirus. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that was back in March. They kind of, it was literally half a season. There was still so much more to go, but they cut it short. And then there was lots of talk of the show probably not being able to come back. So it's coming back for a 9th season. So looking forward to that. And usually they don't start till the spring, mm-hmm. like late winter. So I don't know if that's going to be the same or if they're going to have this season in the fall because we will be getting the U.S. version of this show hopefully in the next few weeks. So not sure what's going to happen there. But Big Brother Canada, we are getting another season. And this is kind of strange news. The two hosts of Dancing with the Stars, Tom Bergeron and Erin Andrews, are leaving the show. So they've been on the show for 15 years.
Has the show, is that since the very beginning then?
Yes.
Wow.
So they're going into their 29th season. These two have been on the show for a very long time. Maybe not Erin Andrews, but Tom Bergeron has definitely been on the show for 15 years. Mm-hmm. So no real reason as to why they're leaving. Kind of odd. So I would be very curious to know who will be hosting. And honestly, curious to know how the next season of Dancing with the Stars will go because we will be getting that, I guess, when do the fall shows start? Do they start October?
I mean, I think that they usually start kind of
mid-September
to beginning of September. October.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm assuming there will be no studio audience. Will the dancers have to wear masks? Like, I'm very curious to see how this will go. And now I want to know who's going to be their host.
What is something that you hung on to in the hopes that it would become valuable someday? Because there's a very common item that many of us would have had growing up. And if we only would have hung on to it, we could have been $114,000 richer. It was something that was in many homes in the 1980s. It is something that you can still find today, but if you would have kept it new and in the box, you would be doing very, very well right now. Any guesses of what I'm talking about, Carly?
Is it a toy?
It is in the toy category. You'd find that in the toy section. You would have found it in the Sears Wish Book, probably in the toys area.
Okay, I have no idea.
A sealed copy of the original Super Mario Bros. Nintendo game just sold for $114,000.
I don't understand why, though, because you're just going to keep it sealed? Like, who cares?
It is very tough to justify and explain this, but there is a group of people who are really into complete in-box sealed video games. So that means the game has never been opened. So inside of that box is the cartridge in its little plastic wrap inside of the box. All the little manuals and all the little posters and flyers are there. But you'll never be able to open up the box because it's actually factory sealed. And this little world is so deep that collectors can spot the difference between what the factory seal looks like and what it would look like if someone tried to vacuum seal the game after the fact.
Okay, you're one of these people. So do you buy two copies of all these games and play them?
No, I don't, because I just...
Because you always say, I never have time to play video games, except the time. That cannot be an excuse anymore.
This is...
Because we all have lots of time.
This is true. But yeah, no, I've never been the person to buy two copies. But I do know people who buy two copies of every video game for this exact reason, just in case they're valuable.
But what is the point of buying them and never playing them?
But they'll buy two copies. So they'll buy one to open
no,
and then
you
one
don't.
To collect. Well, no, because the ones that I buy that are sealed, I already have a loose copy, like one that I can play and enjoy when I want. But certain games, it's like, it's, I don't know, nostalgic. So I'll try to get the complete in-box version. I don't do the sealed ones because I do like to open the boxes sometimes and look at the little manuals and things. But
I'm so confused. So the sealed one costs more?
So yes, the sealed one absolutely costs more. The one that you will never play absolutely costs more because it's still sealed.
And you can buy a sealed copy for like any gaming system.
Yes, you can. But it's just a matter of what you're willing to pay, because this person sold their sealed Super Mario Bros. Cartridge for $114,000, whereas you could buy just the loose version today. The going rate is $10.
So are you sitting on a lot of money?
So that's just it. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Which of my video games that are complete in box and sealed are going to be worth some money someday?
Mm.
I think the most valuable one I have is about $500. I paid $50 for it at the time. So
yeah, which one is that?
Listen, you know what? You know too much already. What have you been hanging on to in the hopes that it would be valuable someday? Hoping to cash in big on my Teemu Selanne rookie card, Carly.
Oh.
I remember at card trading day at our elementary school before they got banned because too many kids' moms phoned and complained that kids made bad deals. I spent $2 to obtain a Teemu Selanne rookie card, which was a big expense because it was a literal $2 bill. I still remember it.
Oh, wow.
And you could get a whole pack of cards for $2. But I bought just one card because I thought in 1991 or 1992... that someday this is going to be really, really valuable. Probably millions.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that $2 investment hopefully is going to pay off. A quick Google search says that that card is worth $1.85 today. So I've lost 15 cents, but it's going to come back around, I bet.
I mean, I'm not really holding on to anything.
Really?
I have Beanie Babies. They do have the tag protectors on them.
Oh,
but they're not really worth anything. There was like years ago, there was some article that came out. I don't know if it was like BuzzFeed or whatever. And it was talking about how Beanie Babies and how much they were worth. But they had to have some kind of like something spelt wrong on the tag or.
Oh, like a defect?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Those ones are worth the money. Mine, not so much. So I have those. I have my Pokemon cards still in the binder. I don't know why I had those. I never knew how to play the game. I didn't really care about it. So, I mean, if you want some Pokemon cards, I would gladly give you this entire binder. Well, I have many, many holograms.
Card trading day got canceled at my school. I already told you. I couldn't offload those things.
My dad used to collect those hockey players, the hockey figurines.
I don't remember
these.
They used
to sell them at Toys R Us. They're like standing and...
like holding a stick and in their equipment and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, he had lots of them. He was super into collecting those, but now I just have a bag of them.
So that collection, if it ends up being worth money and you sell it, do you get to keep the money because your dad gave it to you, or do you split the cash?
No, yes, I keep the money. I own them.
All right, is there something that you've been hanging on to because you're hoping that someday it's going to be worth money, or maybe you hung on to something and managed to sell it for a lot of money? What was the thing? Text us at 123-321.
This is The Dish.
Kanye West is apparently already done with his presidential run. The rapper has reportedly withdrawn from the 2020 U.S. presidential race less than 2 weeks after announcing his plans to run. A member of his campaign team, Steve Kramer, announced the news yesterday to media outlets and said he's out. And then he was asked to elaborate on what happened, and he said, "Everyone has their personal decision about why they make decisions. Running for president has to be one of the hardest things for someone to actually contemplate at that level. Any candidate running for president for the first time goes through these hiccups." He makes it sound like as if Kanye signed up for like a science fair or something.
Exactly.
You know? Like, literally, like, what? So
this is not a baking soda volcano, Kanye. This is a big, big deal.
Exactly.
And not everyone goes through this the first time. Does he think that multiple people go multiple times to try to become president over and over and over again?
Dancing with the Stars is switching things up for season 29 as the dance competition show welcomes a new host. Tyra Banks will be hosting the upcoming season, taking over for Tom Bergeron and Aaron Andrews. She'll also be serving as executive producer. Drew, are you familiar with this show at all?
I mean, the gist of it.
Okay, so like Tom Bergeron would be like the actual host introducing the dancers that were coming up and like throwing to their little video package. But then when the dancers are done, they're interviewed by Aaron Andrews.
Okay.
So I really do feel like they do need two people for this because then they're taken somewhere else, like upstairs, backstage, and they're interviewed by Aaron Andrews. So I feel like someone is still going to be announced unless Tyra Banks is doing all this because she's also going to serve as executive producer. So, we don't know a whole lot about this upcoming season. We know that Tyra Banks is now hosting, and we know that Caitlin Bristow, former Bachelorette from Canada, will be competing, and she's the only person we know so far.
Well, maybe this is what Kanye's going to do with his time now.
Comedian Michael Che is coming to HBO Max with a topical sketch comedy show.
Weekend Update. With Colin Jost and Michael Jost and Michael.
I don't know what's going on there. The working title for the show is currently Untitled Michael Che Project, with the concept being that each episode follows a theme or incident like police brutality, unemployment, falling in love, many, many things. So he says that he's been thinking about this for a while. He's got a lot of sketches ready to go that he wants to shoot, so he needs everyone to cooperate and wear their masks. So, I mean, he does have experience with shooting a show in a pandemic because SNL did 3 episodes from home, so curious to see how this is going to go. And Lorne Michaels is involved in this project, so HBO Max has signed up for 6 episodes, and curious to see about this because I do, you know, I feel like I talk about Michael Che because he's one of my favorite follows on Instagram. So Michael Che, here for it.
If you're looking for a fun weekend trip, there's a cool place that you may want to check out to see some cute animals and spend some time with your family.
Yeah, Kismet Creek Farm. We have on the phone right now the owner, Carl Schoenrock.
Hi.
Carl, can you tell us a little bit about your farm for those who may not be familiar?
Sure. Kismet Creek Farm, we are one of Manitoba's farm sanctuaries. There are a couple others that have opened up since we have opened up 3 years ago. Take in farm animals. We get them from auction. We get a lot of rehoming situations, but there's not a real other place for farm animals to go. So we get them here if we have the available space.
What are some of the farm animals that we could see when we visit Kismet Creek Farm?
Okay. We have goats, sheep, alpacas, llamas, bunnies, turkeys, chickens, steers, horses, pigs, got some cats roaming around, a little bit of everything.
When we come out to the farm and we want to visit you guys and see all these animals, there's certain days that you guys are open to the public to come and do this, right?
Correct. We're only open Saturdays and Sundays and most long weekends, 12 until 6 most days. Again, sometimes we do have weddings here, so we do shut down a little early or some other event. Most weekends, 12 until 6 p.m., and we have lots of space here, so it's easy to maintain social distancing and still see all the animals.
And you guys offer a whole bunch of other services as well because you do yoga classes, correct?
We do our Barnyard Buddies yoga, and we also do belly dancing. We do also have lots of other events through the year, so if people follow us on Facebook or Instagram, then they can keep apprised of what's coming up with at Kismet Creek Farm.
And about 2 years ago, you guys were in the news because you had a possible Guinness World Record-sized cow. The cow was named Dozer. It was a steer. How big was Dozer?
Dozer is 6 feet 5 inches tall.
And how's Dozer doing these days?
Dozier's doing great. He's out grazing in the pasture right now. I'm just looking straight at him, and he kind of sticks out. It's kind of easy to spot him. He's still doing quite well, and yeah, we're just waiting on word from Guinness to see if he is the largest in the world.
And this weekend, you guys are actually having your third anniversary party. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, yeah. It's our third anniversary. We're open 12 into 6 again. We have market vendors, so we have Ruffage Eatery coming down, Candy's Dessert Hummus. We have Wolseley Kombucha. We got Plant Powered Foods Company. We have Patio Pet Fashions, and we're also raffling off a 6-inch triple-layer custom cake from Sweetest Cinnamon. So, yeah, we have lots of vendors that come down for our anniversary. So there's you can see all the animals. You can sample all these different amazing foods. And, of course, you can come and have a picnic here. We have lots of play areas for kids, lots of toys out for them, in with the animals and outside of the animal pens.
Well, sounds like a perfect spot to check out this summer. Go down with the family on a nice weekend. So, Carl Schoenrock, thank you so much for letting us chat with you today about Kismet Creek Farm.
No problem. Hey, thanks for contacting us.
All right, I'm going to play you a little audio clip. You guess what Carly is doing.
Oh, bad glasses. Oh, no, no, no. This guy's pants are so tight. Oh, my God.
Carly, what were you up to there?
I was going through the guys on Claire's season of The Bachelorette.
So we now know who the guys will be on the upcoming season of The Bachelorette. And there is an entire army of guys who are going to be on this show.
Yeah, 42 contestants, which is the most I've ever seen on this show. So, I mean, I can almost guarantee you that half of those guys are going home night one. But
really?
Yeah, I mean, this is just, I'm just happy to see this come out because this makes it real. Because we're always like, hey, what's going on? This season would have been done already. So, and it hasn't even started yet. So this makes it more real. We're actually getting this. Claire's season is a go. She's the oldest bachelorette in the history of the show. She's 40 years old, so I'm super pumped, which means the guys are actually older than 21, 22.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't just, you know, living at their parents' house.
Is that a common thing on The Bachelor? Or
no, I actually don't know how many people, because, yeah, I don't actually know. And honestly, they didn't even list their occupations. They just have where they're from, their age, and their name, which usually they have occupations. So, and I love to poke fun at those because some of them are just ridiculous.
Okay. Any front runners at this point that you're cheering for, you're rooting for?
I actually am rooting for this one guy from Canada. His name is Mike. He does look a lot like my boyfriend. So I think that'd be really funny to see him go really far because they have a very, very similar face. It's crazy. I think it's the eyes. So wow. Mike is from Calgary. He's 38. So,
really?
I mean, Claire's 40. That sounds nice. But yeah, there's some guys that are, I mean, this is based solely off of a photo. That's all we know. We don't have a video package of them speaking. We don't really get any personality from this. So it's really tough to say, but Claire's season is becoming more real.
Do we know when it's going to start airing?
No.
But for the time being, there's one thing that we do know.
This guy's pants are so tight.
Squirrel Restaurant, popular Winnipeg vegan eatery for squirrels, subject to some controversy this week. First, it was a case of mistaken identity, where this restaurant was mistaken for one in Los Angeles that was serving moldy jam. So on social media, people were pretty upset about it. The latest controversy is patrons are now stealing and trespassing on properties adjacent to the restaurant.
Yeah, honestly, where the squirrel restaurant is set up in my backyard is very close to where we have our tomatoes. We have our garden at the back, but then just a tomato planter. And, well, last night after, we call him Dennis. Dennis left. That's the squirrel. He left. He goes into his tree, which is still in our yard, but he goes up high because we opened the door because now we're like, okay, now we can go outside, enjoy our backyard, take our dogs outside for the night. He was done eating his meal. And Dennis is still waiting in the tree. And I look in the tree. And he is holding, I was like, what is he holding? I was like, Tim, quick, go get me Drew's camera inside. So Tim brings me your camera and I, you know, zoom in with the lens, start taking my photos. And then I go, he has a cherry tomato. He is stealing our cherry tomatoes.
Oh my gosh. You spend hours a day preparing culinary delights in your kitchen to serve to him, but that's not enough. this guy wants to steal your boyfriend's tomatoes, which he takes a lot of pride in.
He does take a lot of pride in. And we just started, you know, like being able to pick some of those tomatoes and eat them. And, you know, this is not good. And people did warn me about this and I didn't believe those people. And here we are.
You thought that you would have just this understanding between you and the squirrel. Like the food that's on the picnic table is yours. Everything else is not.
Yeah. Quite funny, though, because the tomatoes, cherry tomatoes, they're so cute. They're so cute. They're so perfect. So I was like, maybe I'll just plate one, serve that to him. And then Tim goes, no, we're not giving him a taste of those tomatoes. And he found them himself. Smart squirrel.
Celebrity stories and more.
What is the 411?
This is The Dish.
Golden Girls fans with some spare cash can now own the home where the show was set.
Thank you for being a friend.
Four-bedroom house located in the Brentwood neighborhood of Los Angeles is up for sale for a hefty $2.9 million.
That doesn't really seem that outrageous for a Los Angeles home.
No, but I mean, I haven't seen the photos, but I would imagine that the house still looks... I mean, to be fair, the exterior of that house was used for shots.
Correct.
They didn't actually film the show there.
I looked at the inside of the house, so I would know what...
Is it dated?
It is modern, but with colors that wanted to be reminiscent of, like, 70s.
So orange and yellow?
And some weird greens and stuff, so it's kind of hard to explain. It's all modern, it's all nice, but it is aware of its retro history.
Oh, yeah, so $2.9 million. I mean, lots of money, but... Maybe in that neighborhood, not for some people. The original owners of the house, who have since passed away, reportedly agreed to have their home featured in the series due to their passion for architecture and design. So that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, they were approached for that, and I mean, I'm sure they didn't know that the show would go on to be such a big deal. It's no secret that celebrities get paid to post sponsored content on Instagram. Hopper HQ released its fourth annual Instagram Rich List of the year 2020, of course. And this impressive list features 100 social media influencers from a wide range of careers and life paths. But they also include their earnings and their follower count. So they have like how much they earn per sponsored post.
Okay.
And at the top of that list last year was Kylie Jenner. This year, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Really?
He's making just over $1 million per post.
Wow. And think about how big his movie career has been in just like the last 5 years. But I mean, if this is the last year, like he has just been doing so much stuff. That guy has got to be so rich.
Yeah. So Kylie Jenner's on that list. Kim Kardashian's on that list, of course. A little bit further down, Ariana Grande, Justin Bieber, Taylor Swift, Beyonce, you know the deal. Apple has picked up the Justin Timberlake starring drama film Palmer. Not the one I wanted, but maybe it would have worked. There we go. In the movie, Justin Timberlake plays Eddie Palmer, a former college football phenomenon who, after a stint in prison, returns to his hometown to get his life back on track. There he faces not only lingering conflicts from his past, but also a much more surprising challenge as he finds himself suddenly in charge of a unique young boy who has been abandoned by his wayward mother. So this sounds like a film that I would like to see, not just because of Justin Timberlake, but I love these, like, you know, just... people making a comeback in their life, and then it's just you're going to have that happy cry. You know you're going to have that happy cry.
Are you sure it's going to be a happy cry? What if this one actually is just like a sad cry at the end because it doesn't work out for Justin Timberlake or this little kid that he's looking after?
I think it's going to work out for the kid.
Well, when can we find out?
I'm not totally sure yet. I just know that this actually has been picked up, but this is that film that Justin Timberlake was doing with Alicia Wainwright.
Oh, this is.
And he got in a little bit of trouble there.
A little bit of trouble?
Quite a bit of trouble.
If you saw this message on Twitter, how would you respond? This from Elon Musk. Feeling grateful, doubling all payments sent to my Bitcoin address. You send 1,000, I send 2,000 back. Only doing this for the next 30 minutes. Carly, you see that in your feed when you're scrolling through? What do?
Nothing.
Nothing?
First of all, I wouldn't even see that because I don't follow him.
You're not going to send, but I mean, everyone would be retweeting that. It's Elon Musk. He's giving you free money. He's doubling it down.
I would never believe that if I saw that. Well, and I'm a gullible person.
But then, what if you're scrolling through your feed and you saw that Bill Gates is doing the exact same thing? And then President Barack Obama doing the exact same thing. Then Kanye West doing the exact same thing. Then Kim Kardashian. That's when you would hopefully clue in that this was all a scam. But this is exactly what happened yesterday on Twitter.
Oh.
So all of these high-profile accounts posting the same general message about, you send us some money on Bitcoin and we will double it. So Twitter, as a network, was freaking out. All of these people were like, whoa, all these accounts were compromised. And then Twitter didn't know how to fix it other than to make it so that everyone on Twitter who was verified could no longer post on Twitter. That was their way of stopping it.
Oh, wow.
So everyone who had a blue check mark on Twitter was unable to post yesterday for a couple of hours while Twitter was trying to scramble to figure out where this leak in their security happened, so that these people or these bots could take over these accounts.
Mm. I don't use Twitter during the day.
Really?
No, I use it here.
Mm-hmm.
Religiously. And then I don't really, it's too much.
So, well,
it's too much. I just go and check the COVID cases and I'm out.
And then you're good. I mean, I have the daily check-in as well. But then last night I saw this was going on. And as you know, Carly, I'm a blue check. Couldn't post yesterday.
Oh, no. So who posts about video games?
Like, other people carried the torch while I was unable to. And I had just opened up my new Terry Fox Runners. So I had to put that just on Instagram. Thank you very much.
Oh, sad. Well, you can do it now, can't you?
Kiss Mornings.
Weekday mornings, 5:30 to 9.
Kiss 102.3.